So we are going to chase our same theme for today, and that is the theme of sound doctrine. And I thought with this being Memorial Day weekend, really Memorial Day is tomorrow, but still in that vein of thinking, we might remind ourselves and remember some things that are good for us today as it relates to doctrine. And so we're going to call this morning Heads Up. And so this time of year, you typically hear this more often than maybe you did previous seasons throughout the year. And why is that? Where do you typically hear this phrase? I heard it. Who said it? A ball game. That's right. So when you're sitting in the bleachers or the stands, if you're over here at Wilson Park or wherever you may be watching a baseball game, when that ball is fouled and it comes over the fence, you'll hear people yell, "Heads up!" Right? And the whole idea is there, hey, you better pay attention because there's something coming your direction that can cause some destruction. Right? And so when somebody says, "Heads up," the whole idea there is, watch out, pay attention. There is something that could come here to hurt you. And so that would be a little bit tedious to say it that way, wouldn't it? Hey, watch out, here comes something your direction. It's about to hit you in the head. You know, after you've already been hit in the head, you say, "Thank you." And so we say, "Heads up," right? It's quick and tries to get your attention quickly, things of that nature. Now, we use this word in all sorts of ways. Maybe if you've been playing a different kind of ball, football or basketball, there have been times where I've passed a ball to a teammate or to my daughter even, and they weren't looking, and that ball's headed for their face, and so you say, "Heads up," right? Or "Watch out," because you want them to quickly turn and pay attention to what's going on so that they don't get hurt. So the whole idea behind "Heads up" is that this is an extreme warning. It is worthy of our attention. That's why there's three exclamation points there. That's why it's all caps today. Heads up! All right, we need to be people who are paying attention, and we're going to see the Word of God is going to call us to this today, to be people who are alert, who are wise, who are trying to walk in ways that really matter, and that will be how we'll work through Romans chapter 16. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn there this morning, and that's where we'll be, okay? If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to get one for you. If you'd let us know following this service, we'll be glad to purchase a Bible for you and put it in your hands so you can mark it up, you can take it home. You can treat it as your own, as it will be. That would be our goal for you in that. But Romans 16 is where we're going to be here. And we're going to find Paul, once again, kind of concluding a letter. We've been in the conclusion of some letters here recently. We've been in the conclusion of Hebrews. We've been at the concluding portion of Colossians. And here today, we're at the concluding part of Romans. So Romans 16 is where we're going to be. And right here at the end, Paul is just trying to remind them of some things that really matter. He's trying to draw out their heart, draw their attention. He's given them a spiritual heads up. And it's important for us today to acknowledge these things as well. So Romans 16 is where we're going to be, chapter or verses 17 through 20. And so let's go. Let's read there this morning. It says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and then avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace, he will crush Satan under your feet shortly. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." And so from this text today, three things we're going to use as reminders, three heads-up reminders. And I want to go ahead at this point here and just ask you tomorrow, take an opportunity to remind yourself of the cost and the sacrifice that people made. As you may visit a parade, or you may observe a moment of silence, or you may ride with a group of people, whatever you're doing, enjoying food, playing games, working, just take a moment and give thanks for those who've gone before us, those who've given their life to sacrifice for what we enjoy today. Good reminder, right? These are some good reminders here today from Romans 16 as well. So let's progress through this text, specifically those four verses. Three things we'll note. So if you want to follow along in your bulletin, you can. You don't have to. It's always there just for personal benefit. So here we go. First one is this, right? We need to watch out. We just read this. We need to watch out for those who are teaching things that are false. Watch out for those who teach a false gospel. And so what we're saying here are people who will tell you something that is contrary to truth or contrary to the Word of God. And we'll hit that in just a minute. But to begin, I'd just like to share a little story with you. There was a seminary professor who was starting off his spring semester, so from January to May, with his students. And he said, "We're going to do one project in the class this year. One project, that's it. So if you're a student, that sounds pretty good. Only one. Now here's the project. We're going to read from the beginning, Matthew 1:1, to the very end of Revelation. We're going to document all the truths that we find in the New Testament, and then we're going to categorize them. And what we're looking for is, what is the dominant theme of the New Testament? What does the New Testament say more than anything? And you know what they found the New Testament said more than anything? Heads up! Watch out! There are people on the prowl. There are false teachers, and so it's very important for us to pay attention. So even more than love, even more than unity, you'll find there this warning to be aware, to be alert, to have your head up. Now, not exactly sure what Paul was addressing here. The Bible doesn't tell us, like, what was coming their direction. And so Paul's saying heads up, but he doesn't tell us, like, the belief system that's coming, that you're going to have to battle. All he knows and all they know is something is coming that's going to try to persuade us to walk away from what is true. And so he's given them this warning. And so let's go back to verse 17 here. We're just going to read the very first portion of this as it relates to our first point. It says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to what? To watch out. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out. And that's very important, even still yet today, as we try to live this life here with all sorts of different religions and belief systems and opinions on this planet. And notice also how he says this. Back in that verse, he doesn't say, I command you, does he? I command you to watch out. He says, hey, if you get a chance, watch out. How does he address them? He says, hey, brothers and sisters. See, Paul addresses these people as family. He has an investment in them, and he's working to protect that investment. And so he wants them to be aware of what's coming, and he wants to do everything he can in his power to protect them. It's like a parent over their child, right? You work to protect that child. So we don't just leave our children in the car while we go shopping for 4 hours, right? We don't go say, hey, go play over there 3 blocks over at that park where we don't know anybody and we'll never see you again. We don't do those kinds of things because we want to watch after our children. We have an investment there, and we are concerned, and we're looking after their best good. And so here it is. Paul is the same way. Brothers and sisters, watch out. I'm urging you, pay attention to what is coming your direction. And so to give us some help here, he gives us at least 4 indicators of false teachers, things to look for. And so we'll call these red flags. So most of us in this room have been to the doctor, and you've had a physical before, right? They kind of check your heart, they check your head, everything about you, make sure everything's functioning correctly. And so let's say that we're going through the doctor's exam, and the last thing they do is check our blood pressure, and we're at like 350 over 210. Doctor going to say, hey, you have a great day. It's your last one. Enjoy it, right? No, for that doctor, it's going to throw up a red flag. And he's going to say, we've got to address this right now. And so what Paul is writing here, these indicators are like red flags. He says, when you see these things, this should go off in your mind. Ah, you may be a false teacher. And so here are some things to be aware of, because sometimes they're hard to identify. Jesus said they're kind of like wolves in sheep's clothing, right? And so they prowl around. Paul wrote and said that they masquerade like angels of light. And so they sound like people who love Jesus. They sound like people who know the Bible, and yet they are misleading. And there are always indicators. And so it's important that we identify, at least some here that Paul does, identify some of these indicators. The first one is this. Those who come to create division are those who tend to be, well, often are wolves in sheep's clothing. They walk into a place of believers, and they start demanding things, or they start saying it should be this way. And by the way, we've had this happen here, and we're not different than any other church. It just happens, I would assume, everywhere. So you need to start doing this. You need to start teaching this. You need to do it on this day. We ought to work things this direction, and as long as you'll do X, Y, Z, then we're here. But if you don't do that, then what? We're gone, and guess what? They're not here, all right? Because we're not working to create division. The Bible always calls us to be people of peace, protect the unity, right? Watch this brotherhood, look over this family. And so everything we do should work towards unity. And so here Paul says you can identify a false teacher often by how they work to create division. Right? How they work to create division. So let's read this again. Verse 17, and we're just progressing through this verse for most of these points. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way. These tend to be people, and by the way, these can grow from within as well. And they do. Right? But these tend to be people who cause or who create sides. You ever been a part of a side? Maybe in a family dispute or between friends, I'm going to take your side over your side. Sometimes that blooms in a church. And they say, hey, listen, I'm going to rally these people around us. They see things our way, and so we're going to try to, and they wouldn't say it this way, we're going to try to get things done our way without realizing what they're doing is creating disunity. Anytime somebody says, hey, come join our side and be against those people who are part of the same body, we've got problems. And those people need to be dealt with. They have in history. They have here as well. We won't tolerate anything that works to create disunity. We can't. It's one of our primary witnesses. And so Paul says, be careful of those who work to cause divisions or who put obstacles in the way of those who are trying to follow. The second one he talks to us about are those who do not teach the whole gospel. These are people who sprinkle in a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of biblical truth, but it's not the whole story. And so they may talk about God, they may talk about Jesus, but sometimes these people say there is a God and there is Jesus, but Jesus is not God. Would you tolerate that kind of teaching? No. Now, unfortunately, typically that's not how it comes out. Usually it's a little more deceptive, and we'll get into that here in just a minute. But that is not true according to the Scriptures. Jesus is God. Right? And so when those people teach just portions of the gospel, that's a red flag. And that should just gain our attention. And we start probing you and we start asking questions or you start asking questions because we want to get to the heart of it. Is that what you really meant? Because that doesn't line up with what the Scripture says. Right? We need to be people who can be aware or have this heads-up mentality as it relates to those who do not share the whole gospel. Verse 17, once again, he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you have learned. Right? So we are to watch out for these people, and here it says we're to keep away from them. Right? Not to even entertain conversation with them. Listen, there comes a point, church, where we've just got to dust our feet. Remember when Jesus told that to his disciples? You go in here and you share the gospel, and if they don't receive it, wipe your hands, dust your feet, and go to the next town. And sometimes we stay, sometimes we linger, and we think we do it in the name of Christ, but all we're getting is more discouraged, more beat down, and our faith is getting weaker, and we start to question all sorts of things. Sometimes we just need to say no. I need people in my life who are going to build me. I need people who are going to point me to Christ, not pull me away. And if this is the relationship we have, sometimes we just need to stay away. I urge you, avoid those who teach things that are contrary to the doctrine that you have learned. Another indicator Paul says to watch out for here is desire. Look at the desire of a person. Typically, a false teacher, their primary desire is themselves. Now, they would never say it that way, but when you evaluate their life, you would see that that's true. A person who is of sound doctrine will always point people to Christ. A person of sound doctrine will always be about the pleasure of God, will always be after the glory of God. And that should be our primary pursuit. And so here he says, look at their appetite, look at their desire, look at their attitude, look at their motivation. What is it that drives them? If it's anything other than the glory of God, whoop, let that red flag raise and let's start doing a little evaluating. Let's start probing this person and see if what they're really saying is what they really mean. And so verse 18 here, he says, for such people, they're not serving our Lord Christ, but they are serving their own appetites. They're serving their own appetites. And so these are people who love the limelight. These are people who love the stage. They love the pulpit. They love the control. They love the authority. They want to rule. And they find kind of their gladness, their life mission when other people live in submission to them. Doesn't the Bible teach us to prefer the brother over ourselves? And so when we find people who are unwilling to do that, that should be a red flag. It's an indicator of some false teaching. It's an indicator that there is a wolf among us. And so we need to watch out for the desire. We need to watch out for those who are doing things their own way. And then the last indicator he gives us here is those of sweet talkers. Remember that old commercial? Maybe it's too old for some in this room. But the Betty Crocker commercial. And this guy is sitting there and he's whipping up a bowl of a cake mix and a pot. And they're showing all these different kind of cakes that are being made. And they're so moist and they're hot. And they're pulling apart these muffins. And they're just like perfect. And this guy at the very end of the commercial goes, "Oh, you sweet talker, Betty Crocker." Right? You remember that? You don't remember that? All right. Well, now you know. You can check it out later. Check it out on YouTube. It's there. All right? The whole point of this, though, is there are false teachers who work that same way. So false teachers don't walk in among us with their name badge on and go, "I don't believe in God. There is no Jesus. Follow me. My name is so-and-so." Right? That's an easy identifier. Just quickly walk away from that. They don't come up to us and say things like that. What they do is they work very deceptively. They work very secretly to draw us away from the things that are true. And so here again, they sprinkle in just enough Jesus, just enough scripture to kind of draw us in, and then they set the hook. You ever been fishing? Probably most of us in this room have been fishing. Let's say we're going fishing today. Many people will be. We're going to set a pole out, and it's got a string on it. We're not going to put a hook on it. We're just going to put some bait on it, and we're going to throw it out there. When that fish bites, are we going to catch it? No, all we're really doing is feeding the fish, right? And so the whole point of fishing is you put a hook in there, you disguise it with this pretty bait that either smells good, it looks good, it sounds good, it creates vibration, so then it's going to draw that fish to it, so they whammo, right? I got to have that thing. And then we do what? And we set the hook and we pull that fish out. That's called fishing. By the way, we're not a whole lot smarter than fish, okay? If somebody put a hook in your stack of pancakes, you get hooked just as easily. And that's exactly why Paul's writing what he's writing. There are people who are sweet talkers, and they make it sound so good, and they just draw you in where you just want to take in everything they're saying. But what's going to end up happening is they're going to set that hook, and they've deceived you. They've got you. I saw a video here recently of a young man at a park, and he was going up to parents, moms and dads who were at this park with their children, and he's got this puppy, and he says, "Listen, I'm just doing an experiment on parents who say that their children will not walk away with a stranger." He says, is it okay if I approach your child with my puppy and just see if I can get them to go with me?" "Sure." "Oh, yeah. Do you think they'll go with me?" "Not a chance." And so he walks out there and he gets these little boys and girls off the swing and he kneels down at their level and this puppy's just playful and he's petting the puppy. He says, "Hey, you want to come pet my little dog?" "Yeah." And they come over and pet this puppy and they're so excited. And he says, "Man, I've got a whole car full of puppies. You want to come see them?" And they're like, "Yeah." And they all, every one of them walk away with this guy. Right? That's a sweet talker, Betty Crocker. And fortunately, sadly, that happens daily in this country. Children get deceived. Children get taken in ways like that. It's the whole idea of baiting you so then I can get from you what I want. Does heads up sound important? Absolutely. Be on guard. Watch out for false teachers. Watch out when they come in or watch out when they grow among you. Be aware that it will happen. And so initially here, one of the first reminders, watch out for those who teach a false gospel. Another reminder that we're going to work through here secondly this morning is the importance of God's Word. We need to go know God's Word so we can discern between things that are right and things that are wrong. We need to know God's Word, and this is extremely important, church, so we can discern what is right and what is wrong. Now, here's a question that comes to mind. If they're holding on to truth, then why give them a heads up? If they're already holding on to the truth, then why tell them, "Hey, watch out for somebody that's going to say something that's not true and deceive you"? It's kind of like somebody who hits a foul ball and you're already looking at it and they say to you, "Hey, heads up." You're like, "My head's already up." What's the point? The point is we can be persuaded. The point is we can be manipulated. We can be seduced. We can be drawn in. And all of us have proven this, I'm sure, with our lives. So think of it this way. Have you ever gone somewhere to make a purchase only to come out with something that you didn't intend on buying? And the reason that you bought it is because somebody sold it to you. You went in to buy this model of coffee maker. and you already did your research and that's what you want, you walk in and say, hey, but listen, for about $30 more, you can get the dynamo. All right? And it does all sorts of fantastic stuff. Just $30. And this, it's going to be amazing. You will really want this coffee maker. And so we stand there like, well, yeah, I kind of want the dynamo. And so you go spend the $30 more and you get it home and set it on your counter and you're like, that's not what I went to buy at all. You know what just happened? All right? We got manipulated. And we bought into it. And so maybe it wasn't a coffee maker for you. Maybe for some of you ladies or some of you men who have hair, it's come from your hairstylist. Have you ever sat in their chair? And I've seen this happen. And you go in, ladies, with the mindset, this is the do that I want. And you walk out with the do that you didn't want. Because she said or he said, if we lighten it this way, or if we cut it this way, or if we lay it this way, it's going to be beautiful. You'll love it. And you get out to your car and get home and look in the mirror and you go, this is not what I wanted at all. You've been manipulated, all right? You've been this person who has been seduced into thinking that there is something better than your original intent. We do this all the time. Could be a car salesman. You show up for a car and they're pretty good at this. I want this car and I'm going to spend this amount of money. And you know what they always show you? The car you can't afford. All right, here's the one you can't afford. It's got a few more features, less miles, and I think you'd really love it. It won't really increase your payment a whole lot. We'll set you up and take care of you. It'll be a beautiful deal. Okay. You know, sometimes we're just that gullible that we buy into things and we walk out of there with something that we weren't intending on buying. Maybe we've done it in a little simpler ways, like at McDonald's. Have you ever had the cashier at McDonald's say, hey, you want to supersize that? And you had no intention of supersizing it. Hey, it's only 30 cents or 59. Just supersize it. Okay, yeah, I'll supersize it. And you get in the car, and you're halfway through your drink, halfway through your fries, and you're just stuffed. What happened? We've been manipulated. All right? We can be seduced. We can be drawn in. And so the reason he says heads up to people whose heads seem to be up is because we can be deceived. So let's don't sit here this morning as fools saying, I'm rock solid. I'm stubborn. No one will ever draw me away from the truth. If you don't work to protect it, it can happen. You and I are not nearly as strong, and we don't give enough credit to the one who works to deceive us. And so it's important that we listen to this heads up. Know his word so we can discern between what's right and wrong. Paul writes about this, as a matter of fact, in almost every letter. We're in the Romans. He writes to the Corinthians about false teachers. He writes to the elders at Ephesus. He writes to the Galatians about false teachers, Galatians 1. He writes in Colossians 2 about false teaching, fine-sounding arguments. He writes to Philippians, the very same thing. You guys have just come through in your Bible studies, Timothy and Titus. It's chock full of watch out for false teachers. Almost every letter Paul writes, I'm not sure about Thessalonians, it's full of this idea of paying attention to false teachers. Know what is right. Here's what he writes to the Corinthians. It says, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, this is 2 Corinthians 11, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Do you see what he's saying? You have pure and sincere devotion to Christ, but my concern is you can be led away just as Eve was because of the cunning, because of how this guy masquerades, how he works, the imposter, how he deceives. We can be drawn out. Verse 4, for if someone comes to you and they preach a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, what do? You put up with it easily enough. It's like saying, I know that what they're saying is not true, but we're going to let them go ahead and teach. And we'll just kind of, we're not going to buy into that, but you're just welcome to teach what you want to teach. It's not going to be long before we start buying into that, where your influence is going to win us over, and we're going to find ourselves following something that is not godly, pursuing something that is not biblical. And so it's imperative that we know the word. And here in the text here, we see the importance of wisdom. And so let's go back here to Romans chapter 16. Let's look at verse 19. He says, everyone has heard about your obedience, and so I rejoice because of you. You know who our adversary really would like to have on his team? The obedient. He doesn't want people who can't be counted on. He wants people on his side that he can count on to be obedient. And he just wants to deceive you enough to get on his team and know that you'll work for him relentlessly. He's not looking for the unfaithful. He's after the faithful. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice with you. I love that you're obedient, but I want you to be wise about what is good and be innocent about what is evil. And so the idea here is we have got to have knowledge of this Word of God. And then we've got to apply this knowledge of this Word of God, which is called wisdom. And when we do that, we have the ability to discern between what's right and wrong. So is this God honoring or not? What do we say? What's the Bible say? What does God say about that? Should my opinion be this way or this way? Well, what does God say about it? Right? We need to rest things on the truth of Scripture. And so as we lean on this wisdom, we can discern what is truth. So we need to get to know him. Wasn't it Jesus who said of himself, don't be afraid, right? Because I am the way and I am the truth and I'm the life. Getting to know Jesus is getting to know truth. And the better acquainted I am with truth, then the better I'll be able to stand against these things that create my heads up. I was reminded of this from a story I heard here recently this past week. It's a story you've probably heard all your life. Remember the story of Little Red Riding Hood? Just the speed up version. The Little Red Riding Hood is going to go to Grandma's house. And she shows up at Grandma's house and she comes to her bed and she looks at Grandma and she notices something's not quite right. Right? And so she says to Grandma, Grandma, my, what big eyes you have. And Grandma says, the better to see you with, my dear. You know it. And Grandma, what big ears you have. And the better to hear you with, my dear. And Grandma, what big teeth you have. And Grandma says, the better to eat you with, my dear. All right? Did you think Little Red Riding Hood was onto something before Grandma says, I'm going to eat you? She absolutely was. Why is she questioning? She's questioning because Little Red Riding Hood knew Grandma, and she knew who was laying in that bed was not her. Right? That's how it is to be with you and I. The way we identify what is false is by knowing what is true. And so it's not my mission on this planet to get to know every false doctrine, every belief system of this world that is not God's. It's my responsibility to get to know God and His Word. And therefore, when I see something and hear something that's not God's, I go, red flag, that's not true. Why? Because God doesn't see things that way. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God that we know. And so it's important that we know the Word of God. I can't stress that enough. So parents, grandparents, teach your children. Parents, grandparents, teach yourself. All right? Church family, let's come together. Let's study the Word of God together. If I have an adversary, an enemy who's out to deceive me, and he's better at it deceiving me than I'm at standing on my own, then I need your help. And you need others' help as well. And so it's important that we listen to the heads up to know the Word of God so that we can discern what is right and what is wrong. The truth of the matter is when I fail, when I walk out of here and say, I'm willing to not know God's Word that well, what you're really saying is, I'm willing to be prey to that wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm willing to be prey to that wolf in sheep's clothing because he or she will come. He or she will talk sweetly. They'll flatter you. They'll say, hey, just come over here. Look at things this way. Doesn't this just make life a whole lot better for you? And you'll go, yeah, it does. And you'll buy the lie, hook, line, and sinker, and you'll be trapped. Heads up. Pay attention. You have false teachers around you. Heads up. Pay attention. Know the Word of God. Remember a few years ago we said, if there's nothing we do on this planet, let's know the Word of God better than we know anything else. And let's know the person of Jesus Christ better than we know anyone else. Because in knowing Christ, we know the Father. It's important. It's extremely important. That's why Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters. He was desperate for his family. He wanted their spiritual protection. All right, then third here this morning. The third heads up. And this is going to be a little bit different. The first two have been warnings. This last one is more just like, a desire from us, something that should take place in the life of a believer. And it's this, that the grace of Christ will strengthen you to stand. And so heads up. They're all false teachers. Heads up. There are those who can deceive you, and they're good at it. And there are those who can seduce us, and they're good at it. And there are those who can manipulate us, and we've all proven that we can be easily manipulated, even though we would say we're devoted. And so here he's telling us then to look up, heads up. Let's get our eyes fixed on the one who gives us the grace, the ability, the strength to stand. And so this is not a warning as much as it is to look to God, look to the heavens, pay attention to the one who is for you. So in this world, all sorts of belief systems, right? All sorts of religions, all sorts of opinions on things, all sorts of scientific theories, world philosophies, you name it. It's important to remind ourselves where our strength comes from. Right? If I think I'm strong enough to stand on my own, I will fail. Right? If I'm relying on me, I'm going to get burned. And so I must remind myself, where does my strength come from? Verse 20, Romans chapter 16, says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet, and the grace of our Lord Christ, Lord Jesus, be with you." And so this was written as a reminder. And this was written as an encourager, more than a pay attention. This is more like, this is what you desperately need. I mean, think of it. If what we've said here is true, if we have an adversary who is good at deceiving us, if we can't stand on our own, if there are multiple belief systems on this planet, we can be easily misled. If the scriptures stopped right there, we would be scared out of our mind. What do I believe? How do I know it's true? How am I going to stand? How am I going to endure? How am I going to persevere? How can I press on? If the scriptures ended there, we would be hurting. And thankfully, they do not. And what the Bible says here is one day Satan will be crushed forever. And it says he's coming quickly. Right? That day is coming quickly. And so he's going to be put under feet. He's no longer going to have the ability to deceive or manipulate or seduce. But until that day comes, know this, that the grace of Christ is in you. The Christ that was crucified on the cross is with you, and this peace of God will sustain you. And so I love here that he's called the God of peace. When we find ourselves unsure, we start to lack peace, right? We start to lack peace, and we're looking in different directions for something that can settle that confusion or settle that doubt or just kind of can bring myself back to what is true. And here he says, I'm the God of peace. And I will take care of the adversary. He's going under my feet. But until that day comes, the grace of Christ is going to sustain you, is going to help you through your struggle. The best defense that we have today, church, is the grace of Christ. The best defense that we have is the grace of Christ. And apart from that, we are hopeless. We are helpless. We're drowning people, and we have no idea. No opportunity to do anything to protect or save ourselves. The peace of God will settle you. The grace of Christ will strengthen you. Therefore, get your heads up. All right? Don't get stuck in your situation. Don't get worried. Don't get afraid. Remember your God. Remember your God. Keep your heads up. So here today, we've tried to look through some of these heads up that Paul has given us. And there's three different ones we've tried to outline here. He said, watch out. He said, wise up. And now he just said, walk on. Watch out for false teachers. Wise up so you can discern between truth and error. And then walk on in the grace of Christ. He will give you the strength that is necessary to endure anything that someone may bring against you. Any false teaching, any of these things that are red flags, his Spirit will make us aware. He'll help us see the need. And then we have opportunity to respond his way. So I just wonder today, if we close this down here, maybe you find yourself today getting a spiritual heads up. Are you getting like a wake-up call? Somebody saying to you in your spirit saying, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. Listen. Maybe he's working to protect you from something that's just coming today or this week. Maybe it's a drawing to know him better in his word. Maybe it's a drawing initially just to know him as your Savior. Or maybe it's just an encouragement today that regardless of what you're facing and how difficult it is, he's going to give you the strength to stand. His grace, the Bible says, is sufficient. It's absolutely what you need to endure whatever it is that will come your direction. Watch out, wise up, and walk on.